American woman. It's the Kim Munson Show, analyzing the most important story.
Socialization of transportation, education, energy, housing, and water. What it means is that government controls it through rules and regulations.
The latest in politics and world affairs.
Under this guise of bipartisanship and nonpartisanship, it's actually tapped down the truth.
Today's current opinions and ideas.
On an equal field in the battle of ideas, mistruths or misconceptions, and it is getting us into a world of hurt.
Is it freedom or is it force? Let's have a conversation.
Indeed, let's have a conversation. Welcome to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out my website. That is Kim Munson, MONSON.com. And you can send me an email at kim@kimmunson.com as well. It is Happy Monday. And we are continuing marching through this whole Wuhan virus, coronavirus issue that's facing our country right now. And we're one day closer to getting back to some kind of new normal. And so Monday, it's your favorite day. Steve, you're looking.
I believe you just spoke an oxymoron, you know, like military intelligence and airline food.
Yeah.
Happy Monday.
Yes, it's a new week, and we are marching through all this. We're going to go through some headlines and some positive messages, then we will be talking with Sue Moore in the second segment regarding some of the legislation that has been proposed down at the State House. Of course, they're in a temporary adjournment, and so it's important that you get your brain around these things. I think that this whole Wuhan virus, coronavirus thing, has kind of been a gut check on, we were pretty fat and happy as Americans and taking a lot for granted. I think a lot of people thought that you just went into the grocery store and somehow they just grew that food, you know, right behind the doors back there. And actually, if you have food on the table, you need to thank an American farmer and, of course, all those across the world that we've been able to have, you know, avocados. When I was a kid, I didn't even know what an avocado was because, you know, we just didn't have those at that time. Steve, how about you?
Pretty much the same. It's the geography, but also I'm talking about Pennsylvania Dutch country. Avocados just isn't primary thing on the menu.
Right. Right. And so we really have been blessed people. And I think that if there's any kind of a gut check, we say, gosh, we have had so much to be grateful for. And if you want to know what the new Green Deal and socialism looks like, you're getting a taste of it. And most people are not really liking it that much. So we'll talk with Sue Moore in the second segment. And then Rob Nadelson, he's a constitutional expert and former constitutional law professor. He is the author of The Original Constitution, What It Actually Said and Meant. And we'll talk with him about some of the stuff that's going on out there as well. So, as we look at these issues, as freedom versus force, force versus freedom. Socialism ultimately comes down to force. If something is a good idea, you should not have to force people. Now, with these edicts of shelter in place with some of these states, we're seeing all kinds of force. Now, they're saying it's because we want to take care of people. I still question it just a little bit, Steve. You know, these radical activist Dems that have taken over the Democrat Party, this is not the Democrat Party of JFK by any stretch of the imagination. So we have like a Ralph Northam, who is the governor of Virginia, who within the last year or so said that actually they would let a baby die after being born. So I'm not seeing how that's really caring a lot about children. And then on the other spectrum, the assisted suicide situation. So here right now, they're saying they care so much about our elderly regarding the Wuhan virus, but yet they don't mind doing assisted suicide. So my friends, we need to keep our brains around this. Something doesn't seem to match up to me, Steve.
No, you're very good at finding these extremes coming out of the same either individual or a group of individuals, that two things that are diametrically opposed, and I really appreciate your ability to pluck that out, because I guess I react a little bit too passionately to one side or the other and don't realize that there's something else going on that really, you know, again, it's the difference between night and day.
It really is. There's one other thing I wanted to get to this headline. The first headline that came up when I, and now it's gone through all these, is that it's basically, it's from MSN. I think that's the service I'm getting. And it says that the governors and mayors are starting to get very frustrated or trying to say that Trump is not doing enough. Here we go. This is from the Washington Post, of course. Governors, mayors, and growing uproar over Trump's response. Do you not look at Trump and that team and can't believe that they're still standing? You know they're working almost 24/7. And so I think that there's a very partisanship agenda going on here, and I think we need to be aware of that as well, Steve.
You know, I think, you know, this other government that's out there in the shadows?
The deep state?
Deep state, yes. I can't help thinking that, they become smart enough to put a communications network together that's probably not very easily detected, but to put marching orders out there for people who were, you know, probably prone to be mouthpieces and, you know, not speak in terms of anything good that's going on. I mean, I'll tell you, Friday a week ago when Trump and the other individuals he had from corporate America, from like Quest Diagnostics and LabCorp and all those big companies, competitors. I mean, they had Walmart and Target standing there right next to it, the CEOs from those companies standing right next to each other in light of this. We're going to join hands here. Even though we're competitors, we've got a mission and everyone plays a role. And when I got done watching that thing after it went on for like close to an hour, I thought, what incredible leadership this is.
Yeah, I think that Trump is going to shine and these nips at his heels when the American people are certainly concerned about things, I think is going to come back to bite them. I really do. And so we need to come together as Coloradans, as Americans. We need to buckle up here, get through this. I think that maybe 7 more days and we're going to have, there's some really good news out there, and I'm going to share some of that with you. Before we do that, though, our inspiration and wisdom today is from General Omar Bradley. He was a senior officer of the United States Army during and after World War II. He was the first chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff and oversaw the U.S. military's policymaking in the Korean War. He was born in 1893, and he died in 1981 at the age of 88. And he said, dependability, integrity, the characteristic of never knowingly doing anything wrong, that you would never cheat anyone, that you would give everybody a fair deal. Character is a sort of an all-inclusive thing. If a man has character, everyone has confidence in him. I like that, Steve.
Yep, that certainly comes from a very reputable source.
Most definitely. And our funnies for today. Are you ready?
Okay, I better laugh.
Okay. Two little girls were playing together. The Wuhan virus recommended 6 feet apart. Last week in a park, when one of them said, I wonder what time it is. Well, it can't be 4 o'clock, replied the other with magnificent logic. Well, how do you know? Asked the first little girl. Because my mother said I was to be home by 4 o'clock, and I'm not. Okay, next thing you know, we were going to be doing our 3 punches to knock down democratic socialism with Helen Raleigh and Dr. Paul Prentice. And we're going to reschedule that. It's going to be June 22nd at Water's Edge Winery. People are still buying tickets, which is so exciting because I think that we're going to sell out. So you can go to my website, kimmunson.com, to buy your tickets there. And so a little bit of good news here that I wanted to share with you that Patty had found. And that is, hold on here, is that there is Israel sent a whole bunch of treatments. Here we go. Israeli drug maker, this is from Just the News, is going to donate 6 million doses of promising coronavirus drug, the hydroxychloroquine. And as Teva Pharmaceutical Industries said Friday, it'll immediately donate more than 6 million of these doses. It's a malaria drug that has shown promise treating coronavirus patients. President Trump has touted the potential of the drug and has asked the FDA to test its possibilities as researchers work on a coronavirus vaccine. Teva will donate the drug in sulfite tablets through wholesalers to hospitals across the U.S. amid an urgent demand for the medicine. Now, have you seen that headline anyplace else, Steve?
No. No. Mm-hmm. And I know why.
Mm-hmm. And we're going to be keeping a track of what's going on with these stats as well. So today, the United States population, 327.2 million, that was in 2018, reported as of 4 p.m. on March 19th that the total cases of coronavirus in the country was 15,219, with deaths of 201. And that's 54 jurisdictions, so the 50 states, the District of Columbia, Puerto Rico, Guam, and the U.S. Virgin Islands. So for Colorado, our population is almost 5.7 million in 2018. And we have a number of confirmed cases of 591, and we have had our second death. And each one of these people is treasured and valued, and we know that, those that have died, their families, certainly our hearts go out to them. But we also want to keep this in perspective because we are really putting our economy in a really difficult situation.
You've seen the other tables that are out there regarding just the regular conventional, if I can use that word, flu statistics. Mm-hmm. And you know they're either worse or they're comparable. And no one wants to talk about that. We keep dragging out these new tables that are tied to the coronavirus and just beating the drum and sensationalizing. It's like, well, wait a minute, go back and look at the other tables that are currently running as well. And the stats are, you know, so why, what's the difference?
Yeah, I think the difference is seems to be some kind of unknown. But that's the thing, is each day we're going to know more, Steve. And it's not, it's not just, right here, this is, we're creative, we're innovative people. We're going to know more. We're marching through this. And each day we're much closer to getting back to normal. Before we go to break, a couple of things. Stan Everett, we have had him on. He is the founder of the Legacy Project. And he sent something out that I thought was just really terrific. We need to be doing some positive things. And we're truly in a crisis right now. But he had six things that we could do to actually help get through this. He said, buy a gift card to your favorite local establishments, such as restaurants, taverns, barbershops, merchants, or other businesses that need cash flow to survive. And so that gives them cash flow. It says, be generous. It says, donate generously to a church benevolent fund so that they can help those that are personally distressed. Send some cash to your favorite restaurants and ask the owner to give it to the service staff as paid in advance tips. Give a business a bridge loan with a lower interest rate so they can avoid the red tape and delay of borrowing from a bank or the government. Buy food and or necessities for someone who is uncomfortable about going out in public. Or go to the gas station and maybe to pay to fill up for the person behind you. He said there are undoubtedly unlimited opportunities to financially and personally support your neighbors. Now is the time to step up and reach out with a helping hand. Our government at all levels is trying hard to help, but we can see already that their help can turn to hurt as it is inevitably politicized. As members of our community, each of us should take a leadership role to help others. In truth, it is our duty. Now is the perfect time to exhibit and express your character, your legacy.
Can I share an observation?
Yes.
Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, we made it a point to go out walking, which has been highly recommended, by anybody who's trying to monitor the population and give them encouragement to do what needs to be done. All 3 days, people we encountered, either people walking the other direction or walking past somebody's house, he's out washing the car. The incentive for conversation was at an all-time high. It's like people would see you come and they couldn't wait to engage in conversation. So it's there. I mean, people are trying to interact. We're all impacted the same way. We all want to kind of share in our experiences.
Well, and I've seen so many people out walking, dads and sons. It's just been really cool. So we're going to need to go to break. Before we do that, though, we need to buckle down and help all of our restaurants, bars, and taverns here in Colorado with Governor Polis and Mayor Hancock, their edicts to close dine-in options for individuals. Restaurant workers will face some lean times. So restaurants are getting creative. Hooters is a valued partner of mine and really support my shows. So let them know how much you appreciate their sponsorship. In fact, we had it delivered on Saturday night. By stopping by and picking up dinner to take home, or you can have Hooters wings delivered to your front door via one of the delivery services. You can try their original wings or some of the delectable smoked wings, which have half the calories. And they're going to be adding curbside pickup for their to-go orders. So for more information, go to order.hooters.com. And that's been a really popular option for them. So we need to make sure that we take the Queen's advice, stay calm, and carry on. We're Americans. We need to act like it. We're going to go to break. When we come back, we'll be talking with Sue Moore with the Republican Liberty Caucus of Colorado about legislation that we need to make sure we keep our eyes on. We'll be right back.
A reverse mortgage can be an important financial tool for individuals 62 and older. It is essential to understand the process so that all of your questions are answered. With over 17 years in the mortgage industry, Lauren Levy, Polygon Financial Group, has the experience to answer your questions. Lauren knows that each financial transaction is personal. If you'd like to explore your options on a reverse mortgage or with rates down, explore options to remodel your home, buy a rental property, or move, call Lauren Levy at 303-880-8881. That's 303-880-8881 for a mortgage checkup.
Kenny Rogers passed on this weekend. I always loved Kenny Rogers. So thank you, Charlie, for making that happen. So, hey, Sue Moore, how are you doing this morning?
I'm doing well, Kim. How about yourself?
I'm doing just fine. Thank you for joining us. Now, I know that the legislature is in temporary adjournment, but there's some things we really need to keep our eyes on, and you wanted to lowlight some of those, I think.
Exactly. Yeah. So there are no new bills coming through the legislature. Obviously, they're on a 2-week break. They're scheduled to resume next Monday, but that seems doubtful at this point. I guess we'll just kind of wait and see. But when they do come back, they're going to have to prioritize the state budget, also known as the long bill. And the current state budget was at $32.5 billion. And the latest figure is that there will be at least an $800 million shortfall because of this crisis and the slowing economy. So they're going to have to, you know, tighten their belts and figure out where to spend money and where not to spend money. So what we decided to do this week was come up with a list of bills that we think should die as quickly as possible as soon as the legislature comes back in. The list is long, but I'll kind of hit some highlights for you. Does that sound good?
That sounds good.
Okay. So one of the biggest ticket items is health care in the budget. So the big one that we talked about this a couple of weeks ago, but it's House Bill 1349. It's called the Affordable Health Care Option, or it's also known as the public option. It really only has an additional budget line item of $1 million, but that's just for operational costs. What it really does is it puts the pressure on hospitals to provide services for a fixed cost. So Economics 101 tells us that when you try and fix prices, you also get rationing of care. So you're putting a pressure on hospitals when they can least afford to deal with that. And it's going to cause hospital closures probably in rural areas, and it's going to create rationing. So for a whole lot of reasons, that's just a really bad bill that we just can't afford to pass right now.
Now, Sue, just a quick point on that. You know, this whole thing with this Wuhan virus, this coronavirus thing, is there's been the stories of in Italy where doctors are having to make decisions on who gets the ventilator. So they're rationing ventilators. Yet here in Colorado, we have a legislation that's proposed that will actually cause rationing. And I think one of the big panics has been the rationing on medical care. And yet here we have legislation that it's much more subtle, but it would do the same thing.
Right, right. Yeah, these bills always sound good in writing. But the reality is it will create rationing. It has to. There's only X amount of money, and, you know, so many patients are coming into the system. So just a really bad idea at a bad time. There are three bills that I'll kind of group together. One is House Bill 1158. There's 1103 and 1086. And these are all just mandates on coverage that insurance plans have to provide. The first one, 1158, provides coverage for infertility diagnosis and treatment. And it's pretty much an open checkbook. You would have to provide a plan that provides for as many in vitro fertilizations as needed. And you can't charge a deductible, you can't charge a copay. Now, this bill has already passed both chambers. It's waiting to be signed by the governor. So we're really, really hoping that he'll take a second look at this and decide to put the brakes on that. 1103 mandates colorectal cancer screening coverage. Again, it's a great idea. It would go into effect for anyone over age 45. But again, it's just another cost to insurers at a time that they just can't afford it.
Mm-hmm.
1086 mandates coverage for mental health wellness exam. It's a 60-minute exam per year. You know, again, a nice idea if we were just, you know, bathing in money, but we just aren't right now. So these are just bad bills that should die.
And one other question I want to say is, who defines mental health?
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. That's up to the professionals, but it, you know, it just puts more burdens on a healthcare system at a time we just can't afford to do that.
Okay.
And then there's a regulatory bill, 1008, that would create the healthcare cost-sharing consumer protections. And this is actually a good thing. These are these medical cost-sharing or health-sharing ministries, where basically a group of people come together and they decide to share healthcare costs for catastrophic medical events between the members of their group. Well, this would impose a lot of mandates on that, a lot more stricter reporting and disclosure requirements, and it also would prohibit brokers from offering these plans during open enrollment periods, because as you and I both know, the government hates competition. So if they can shut that down, that's a good thing in their opinion. Let's look at some other regulatory bills. Senate Bill 200 would be the implementation of the Colorado Secure Savings Program. It's basically a state-run IRA program. They want to get people to start saving for their own retirement. But it, you know, if you mandate this on small businesses, it's, you know, they just quite simply, a lot of businesses are going to close over this crisis. And to increase the cost of doing business on those that can reopen, it's just something at a time that they can't afford. And then finally, if I still have time, there's a bill that we really, really like. It's House Bill 1326, and it creates occupational credential portability. They're already doing this for doctors and nurses. They're allowing them to cross state lines and practice without additional licensing, and that's a good thing. This would actually make that permanent, and it would also apply to architects, CPAs, dentists, acupuncturists, a whole list of professions. And, you know, in a time of business uncertainty, relaxing some of these regulations and licensing requirements is a good thing. So those are a few. We'll have more on our website a little later this morning at rlcco.org. So our focus for the next couple of weeks will be on bills that we think should go away, bills that should not be signed by the governor. And bills that we would hope would die in committee before they even get that far.
Okay, and so that's rlcco.org, rlcco.org. Sue Moore, you and your team are doing really an amazing job on shedding light on this. And we're kind of in a new time, I would say. I have a friend of mine who her kids have typically, you know, really kind of, I think, been maybe these whole renewable energy and all this makes a lot of sense. As we've gone through this whole scare with the coronavirus or the Wuhan virus, one of her kids said to her, you know, I actually understand why coal is so important. If we were actually relying on wind and solar right now while we're doing all this, staying home, We might not have electricity. We might not have heat. And so I think that people are getting a taste of the new Green Deal, of what socialism looks like, and they're not liking it so much. So I think when the legislature comes back, people that weren't paying attention, I think, are going to be paying attention, Sue.
Oh, exactly. Yeah, there are some energy-related bills on, you know, putting requirements on builders to use X amount of, you know, new green materials and things like that. And, you know, those all sound great, but in practice, in an environment like this, it's just not feasible. And to place more burdens on companies that are struggling to survive just doesn't seem fair.
That's for sure. So, Sue Moore, thank you so much. We will talk to you next Monday morning. And thank you to you and your team for the great work you're doing.
All right. Thank you, Kim. Have a good day.
Okay. And that website is rlcco.org. That's rlcco.org. Jason McBride, Presidential Wealth Management. Happy Monday.
Hey, good morning. Still alive.
We're still alive. The sun's going to come up in a little bit. There's a lot to be grateful for. So what's on your mind?
Well, one, I'm very disappointed with you. I heard you calling this virus the Wuhan virus earlier, and that's like micro-racism. I mean, you're not even calling it China. You're picking on just that one small place, and it's no fault of their own. I mean, I'm very disappointed with you, Kim.
Well, you know, I've thought about this. I find it absolutely shocking that the media is going after President Trump for calling it the China virus. And I have a lot of friends that have immigrated from China or are first generation Chinese. And so I thought, you know, I think I wasn't going to call it the China virus, but yet I wanted people to know that it came out of China. So that's why I was calling it the Wuhan virus, Jason.
Oh, okay. Well, you know, I thought maybe you were just trying to you know, interview for a job with the Times or the Washington Post or something like that.
Righto.
Yeah, I hope everyone listening realizes we're being sarcastic and playful.
Yes, most certainly.
Yeah, so anyways, so it's been kind of an interesting morning with the futures. Literally, probably less than half an hour ago, the futures were down over 600 on the Dow. Now they've reversed back up, and we've got about a 450-point gain on the futures at this moment. This Senate bill is floundering because politics are becoming involved. But the Fed just announced that it's going to start buying treasuries and mortgage-backed securities, which Lauren will be able to explain much better than me the I don't want to use the word or the results of that should be to stabilize the mortgage market a little bit and then get that moving again, and could also possibly bring the rates down a little bit. So there's our positive news, at least so far this morning. Kim, we still got an hour to go, so I don't know if we're going to open positive, but right now we saw a big swing from the downside to the upside on the futures.
You know, and Jason, during these times, there is great opportunity. And I would highly recommend for people to look at that and see that there's opportunity. We're going to have Lauren Levy on tomorrow, as well as Karen Levine, regarding, you know, opportunity in the home finance market as well as in the housing market. But over, you know, in the stock and bond market and the insurance market, there's opportunity. And instead of just being frozen because of what's going on out there, people need to sit down with you and your team over at Presidential Wealth Management and realize there's great opportunity and try to figure out how to take advantage of that.
Well, there certainly may be, Kim. We've talked about, you know, a couple of things Bill O'Neill said about, you know, when to maybe add to a good mutual fund. Over and over again, we've had sell-offs in our market. I'm not convinced that this is what they would call a bear market yet either, Kim. You know, if this thing comes down and then quickly, you know, recovers back up to a new high within a year or less, I don't consider that a bear market. I consider it a nasty correction and then a quick recovery. But, you know, the media defines a bear market as the second we're down 20%. And I think that's pretty darn rudimentary and maybe not accurate.
Okay. And one other thing, Patty just had corrected me. On Colorado, we have had 7 deaths from the coronavirus or the Wuhan virus or the China virus, whatever you want to call it. And each one of those people are treasured and valued. But compared to the number of flu deaths, and you'd mentioned this when this whole thing first started, you know, this is kind of a wait and see on what happens. But people are whacking out. And I think a lot of it's because of the media. Instead of saying that there's seven deaths, they may say, oh, deaths have increased 200% or whatever. You know, I see a lot of sensationalism in these headlines, Jason.
Well, there's been sensationalism since the day this thing started. And, you know, all I would say really to the media is, you know, you've created this hysteria. If it wasn't for the panic and hysteria created by the media, Kim, we wouldn't be having to talk about a $2 trillion stimulus package. We wouldn't have to be talking about the Fed going in and buying these bonds. I mean, none of this stuff would have to be going on if people weren't completely freaking out. And I'm not blaming the people. I mean, when this is getting fed into your ear 24/7 nonstop, minute by minute by minute, and it's all sounds like we're headed towards the end of the world, yeah, you can understand where people are going to get a little bit scared and financial markets are going to behave badly. But I agree with you 100%. I think they've been extremely irresponsible in their reporting of this. And also, as you said, I mean, they just can't leave the politics out of it at the same time.
Yeah, so this is one of those stay tuned. Let's walk through
right. This.
Next week will be 2 weeks since Governor Polis has closed the bars and restaurants. I think that within the next week or so, we're going to see a turnaround on this. And so I highly recommend that people reach out to you, Jason McBride, 303-694-1600. 303-694-1600, or go through our website, airairpresidential.com. And Jason, have a great day. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
All right. Have a great show, Kim.
Thanks so much. We're going to go to break. When we come back, we'll be talking with Rob Nadelson. He is a constitutional expert, former constitutional law professor, the author of the original Constitution, what it actually said and meant. And just want to get his perspective on what's going on out there. We'll be right back.
Award-winning realtor Karen Levine has 30 years of experience with RE/MAX Alliance. As a director with the National Association of Realtors, Karen Levine works to protect private property rights. Karen Levine believes in homeownership. Because of Karen's love of dogs, Karen volunteers with GRR, Golden Retriever Rescue of the Rockies, helping golden retrievers find their forever homes. Choose Karen Levine to buy or sell your home because she understands that it's more than just a house. Karen Levine comes highly recommended by Kim Munson. Call award-winning realtor Karen Levine with RE/MAX Alliance today at 303-877-7516. That's 303-877-7516.
You'd like to get in touch with one of Kim Munson's sponsors, but you can't recall their phone number. Find a full list of advertising partners on Kim's website, kimmunson.com. That's Kim, MONSON.com.
On a warm summer's eve.
Oh, welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. Kenny Rogers passed on this weekend, and I was always a Kenny Rogers fan, so he was big. He was really big, so rest in peace. On the line with me is Rob Nadelson. You know him, a constitutional expert, former constitutional law professor, wrote the book, The Original Constitution, What It Actually Said and Meant. My gosh, Rob Nadelson, with all this stuff going on out there, we need to be taking a look at this original Constitution and what it said and meant, because this whole shelter in place, I think it's also known as martial law, has me a little concerned. Welcome, Rob Nadelson.
Good morning, Kim. Good morning, Denver.
So you just sent me a link to a piece from the Epoch Times that you are quoted in extensively. It says, freedom in temporary short supply, COVID-19 and emergency powers. And I haven't had a chance to read it because it's just hot off the press. So tell us about it.
Well, I think that the nature of what we need to think about is captured by two quotations that I mentioned in the article. One quotation is to the effect that when an emergency is on, the Constitution is still effective. We don't give up our constitutional rights in the case of emergency. The other quotation is that the Constitution is not a suicide pact, that the Constitution is not so rigid that we all have to, like lemmings, march over a cliff in keeping with its mandates. There is some flexibility in the Constitution.
Okay.
And so in times of emergency, what we have to remain is ambivalent and vigilant. We have to, on the one side, make sure that government doesn't underreact, that it does what's necessary to keep us safe. And I say that in the broadest sense, not just safe from the immediate virus, but safe from, say, economic collapse, which can in turn lead to death.
Mm-hmm.
And yet, on the other hand, we have to make sure that the government is respectful of basic freedoms. That's a tension which is sometimes difficult to maintain. It's difficult to know which way to go. But as long as we are actively thinking about the subject and not surrendering either to the government or to the fear of the virus, then I think we'll be okay.
I think that's key words that you just said, actively thinking. And when we were talking to Jason just a moment ago, these headlines are so sensational that that you think the end of the world is around the corner, which then people start to panic. And instead, we need to take the Queen's advice, stay calm and carry on, but actively thinking. That's a really important couple of words there, Rob.
There's something else to remember, too, and that is that people who have a specialty will almost overreact. The healthcare professionals that surround the governor, the president, will view the public safety as, in the short term, as trumping everything else. I think, for example, Governor Cuomo of New York said, if I can save one life, I'll be satisfied. Well, that sounds really good. But if you take action that destroys an economy while you're saving one life, you're going to kill a lot more people later on because economic health tends to be associated with physical health. The second thing to understand is that rule applies to other specialties. There's an article in the Washington Post today which conveniently overlooks the civil liberties violations during the Obama administration, but it does make a good point, and that is that the Justice Department is thinking about proposing emergency measures that would suspend people's rights of habeas corpus. In other words, people could remain in prison while judicial proceedings were put on hold. They could remain in prison indefinitely, thereby taking away from them the writ of habeas corpus, which is the right of people to challenge their imprisonment, one of our oldest rights, even antedating this country going back into England. So you're always going to have people who specialize in particular matters thinking that their matter is number one, trumps everything else, and we got to watch out for those people.
So let's talk a little bit more about this habeas corpus, because I think it is really, really important. And Lincoln suspended that back in the Civil War. And I'm a real fan of Lincoln, but I've always been a little concerned about that. So let's talk a little bit more about that, Rob.
Okay. Well, the writ of habeas corpus gets its name from the fact that this writ or order was originally written in Latin, and the words habeas corpus were the first words in the writ, and what they mean is, should you have the body? And what it was is an order directed from a judge to a sheriff or somebody else who had somebody in prison, which said, if you have the body of this particular identified person, you must produce him in court on a certain day at a certain time and explain to the court why you are holding him. And if you can't explain that, you must let him go. Or if your reasons for holding him are not justified, the court will order that you let him go. This is a way of combating arbitrary imprisonment. It is one of the great landmarks in English and American freedom, and is protected in the U.S. Constitution. Part of the writ of habeas corpus is your ability, if you're in prison and you think you're in prison wrongfully, is to get a hearing on that quickly. As I understand it, the Justice Department is considering a proposal that will allow the courts to shut down during an emergency in a way that people seeking a writ of habeas corpus would be stuck in prison for a certain amount of time without getting their prompt hearing. Now, that The Justice Department is concerned about law enforcement. They're concerned about prosecution. They're concerned about locking up bad people. They specialize in those areas. And so, like almost everybody else who specializes in an area, they tend to overreact by thinking that their area is more important than everything else. See? So that's the pattern. And what we, when I talk about active thinking, Kim, what I mean is we as the American people need to recognize that the health, that the public health people are going to react, the law overreact, the law enforcement people are going to overreact, the civil libertarians are going to overreact, the libertarians are going to be overreact, and we need to balance all those factors against each other. It's difficult, but remaining both safe and free requires us to undertake that kind of active thinking.
Okay, this is so interesting. I hadn't really thought about it, that each particular group will overreact regarding their particular interest.
That's right. That's right.
So how? Go ahead.
Yeah, go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, how does regular people? You first, Rob.
a good example was given to me by a famous economist, Rick Stroop, who said, Rob, imagine that you're in the business, you're an engineer, and you're in the business of building dams. You're in the business of building dams to protect people, to create water resources, to create hydroelectric power. In your world, the dam is the most important thing that you could possibly do. And so you naturally think of it as trumping everything else. It's the same thing that bureaucrats think of. You know, if you work at a bureaucratic agency and you're writing regulations for what you see as the public good, those regulations are the most important thing to you, and they're more important than everything else. And so that just seems to be human nature. And a great example of that is the example I mentioned a minute ago, where Andrew Cuomo, the governor of New York, says, if I can save one person in this coronavirus epidemic, I will do so. Yeah, but you destroy the economy, you're going to kill thousands later on down the road.
Well, and to that point, there is this human cost, if you would destroy the economy, to people losing their livelihoods and falling into hopelessness. And
that's,
you know,
right.
Certainly that,
suicide.
Suicide, those kinds of things. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Suicides, deep depressions, inability of people to support their family, malnutrition. This is one of the things that people don't understand. We often think that there's a trade-off between economic prosperity and health, or between economic prosperity and the environment. And occasionally there is, but far more often, economic prosperity improves health and improves the environment. And so when you start destroying the economy, you're playing dice with human life.
Oh boy, that's important stuff. And so let's go to break, Rob Nadelson. Continue on this piece that is in the Epoch Times. I'm looking at some of your other quotes in here as well. So let's go to break. We'll be right back. This is Kim Munson talking with Rob Nadelson. Stay tuned.
You want to succeed, so you need to dress for the job, event, or relationship that you seek. For more than 30 years, entrepreneur and stylist Kim Munson has been helping women look their very best. And guys, Kim can help you with made-to-measure shirts that fit great and you'll love to wear. Guys and gals, if you want to up your game, freshen your look, email kim@kimmunson.com for your initial style consult. Kim@kimmunson.com.
All of Kim's sponsors are an inclusive partnership with Kim and are not affiliated with or in partnership with KLZ or Crawford Broadcasting. If you would like to support the work of the Kim Munson Show and grow your business, contact Kim at her website, kimmunson.com. That's Kim Munson, MONSON.com.
You've painted up your lips and rolled and curled.
Welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. That is Kenny Rogers. Great star. He passed on this weekend. Rest in peace. Rob Nadelson, I am so concerned about this potential of police powers, if you will, in this piece that you're quoted in extensively from the Epoch Times. There's talking a bit about California, how draconian it is out there. It's so interesting to me that many of the states that are issuing shelter in place, also known to me as martial law, that are issuing these edicts are Democrat states. It seems very draconian for a germ. I don't know. What do you think?
Well, first you have to understand that the progressive left is into power. I mean, there was a study done a few years ago of red states versus blue states, and what they expected to find was that the red states, the Republican states, were freer economically but imposed more constraints on personal freedom. And they expected that the blue states, the Democrat states, would be less free economically, but they would be freer on things like, you know, marijuana or whatever. What they actually discovered is that the blue states, Democrat states, were less free across the board. I mean, they just don't really, the progressive left, so to speak, just doesn't really care much about freedom. When they talk about it, it's usually a short-term political tactic. That's just political reality. The states do have a broad set of government powers called the police power. This use of the word police is an older use. It means governance. It doesn't refer to your local cops. It's the governance power. It's a power the federal government does not have. Federal government does not have general police power outside the District of Columbia and federal territories and a few enclaves. And the police power has traditionally included the power to, martial law only in certain circumstances, but certainly the power to close down businesses, the power to quarantine, and so forth. So that exercise of the power is not unprecedented. It may be excessive. I mean, I'm not an epidemiologist or an expert who can balance all these things for you, but they do have that authority. I personally, my guess would be, as a non-specialist, that total lockdowns or keeping people in their homes is probably excessive.
Just a little bit, I think. I think what I'm trying to get my brain around, and I think time is going to tell on these states that are taking the draconian measures, and like Cuomo saying, if I can just save one life, but yet many times these are sanctuary cities, sanctuary states, where they're letting criminals out that have actually hurt people, like that little old lady that was, I think, murdered by an illegal alien in New York. You know, how is it that they care so much regarding this germ here, but they're not caring so much on these other policies, Rob?
Well, again, the reflection, the reflex here is to control. These are politicians, right? Everybody tends to overreact within his area of specialty. Politicians control people for a living, and so they think that's important. We at the Independence Institute have developed a concept called government distancing, which is a recognition that sometimes, in many ways, the best ways to respond to an emergency like this is lightening government control. And so we've made a number of recommendations to the governor, and I'm happy to say that Governor Paulus has reached out to our president, John Caldera, on two occasions for suggestions as to how regulations can actually be reduced in ways that help to solve the public health crisis. And so we've suggested things like, you know, reducing the licensing requirements on medical professionals so we can allow people from other states to practice medicine here, et cetera. Permitting activities to be held in the parks so they don't have to be held in enclosed environments. There's a long list of them that John Caldera sent to the governor. So there are ways of responding to a healthcare emergency that actually involve loosening or reducing regulations. I'm very concerned about the approach being taken in Washington, D.C., by both the Trump administration and Democrats, of getting ourselves even deeper into this historic debt hole by throwing money at the problem. This is one of my disagreements, by the way, and always has been, with Donald Trump. He does not seem to have a fiscally conservative bone in his body, burdening our society, both present and future generations, with debt and all that implies is not really a good way to respond to a public health crisis, in my view.
You know, and I've thought a lot about that as well, because before all of this, You know, our debt has continued to go up significantly. And typically as Americans, Rob, we have wanted to pass something good on to the next generation. And I always say that we stand on the shoulders of giants, you know, from the Patriots that stood against the British to Gettysburg to Iwo Jima, Normandy, you know, all these people that were willing to put blood and treasure on the line to stand against tyranny and to pass on freedom. And then it's my generation that is thinking about, or not thinking, that we are passing a big IOU onto the next generation. And there's something immoral about that. Trump's in a difficult situation, because you got over here on the other side these governors and mayors. I talked about this headline nipping at him that he's not doing enough, and yet he has been working on trying to reduce rules and regulations. And I really think that if we got the economy going, you know, we could start to chip away at that. And then, of course, within, 2-3 weeks, we've seen the stock market take a big dive.
Well, I mean, Kim, I think you're giving him a pass. I don't think he's ever been serious about the deficit issue. He talks about growing out of it. It's not going to be enough. And it's evidence that this is one area where we need constitutional change. We need a balanced budget amendment, or we need, with exceptions for emergencies, but we need a balanced budget amendment or some other fiscal restraints on the federal government, because both Republicans and Democrats are responsible for this problem. There's one other thing I'd like to mention, two other things quickly before we run out of time, as far as this active thinking thing. When the state exercises its police powers, the governor can't just do things unilaterally. The governor has to be empowered by state statute. He has to be authorized by the legislature. And in reviewing Colorado's emergency statutes, I found some real vagueness in them, some real questions as to how extensive the governor's power should go. And that's one thing I think we're going to need to take a look at once this emergency is passed. The other thing is to keep in mind the historical perspective. As bad as this is not the Black Death. This is not a situation where one out of every three Americans is going to die. It's not a situation where, like the one we faced in 1918 with the Spanish flu. It is a plague. It's an epidemic. But it's not a reason for panic. That's, you know, panic is the enemy of thought and the enemy of freedom and also the enemy of public health. And keeping in mind that this is not a plague of the kind of historical proportions that Americans and other Westerners have faced in the past, I think is a way of helping us, keeping our brains active during this crisis.
Okay, so Rob, we have just a couple of minutes, and I'm not seeing at least any stories that I come across out of California or New York or Washington where any local officials, whether or not it would be, you know, city council people, mayors, county commissioners, say, have stood up and said, this is draconian, and in our county or in our city, we are not going to do that. And I think that we need to start to have some leadership to be reasonable in some of these draconian things that are coming down.
Any politician knows if he stands up and does that, he'll be branded as an enemy to the public health. That'll be the kindest thing they'll say about him. Also, if the death rate increases within that public official's jurisdiction, it'll be blamed on that public official. I think this is an example, Kim, is where the leadership is going to have to come from below, that you're going to have community resistance against excessive regulation, and that may take some time.
Community resistance. And what does that mean exactly, Rob Nadelson?
It means people will start ignoring it, that they'll start traveling and they'll start saying, hey, you know, I'm not a prisoner in my house. One thing that the governor of New York has said, and I've criticized him today, but he's also said he's not going to do a statewide lockdown. He says he's not going to turn New Yorkers into prisoners. I mean, that strikes me as an appropriate sentiment. I hope he sticks with it.
Okay, well, Rob Nadelson, thank you so much. Really appreciate your insight on this. And this piece where you are quoted extensively is in the Epoch Times, And the title on this, let me get to it here, back up here, is Freedom in Temporary Short Supply, COVID-19 and Emergency Powers. So, Rob Nadelson, thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Kim.
Okay, my friends, we really need to realize that freedom is inherent in the American DNA. And we need to really take a look at each of these things that's coming down and actively think about them, as Rob Nadelson had mentioned. We are Americans. We need to stay calm, and we need to look at these things reasonably as we continue on. So the sun is coming up, and there's a lot to be grateful for. I would challenge you, when you start to feel some panic, to sit down and think of three positive thoughts and think of three things you're grateful for, and that truly can change your psyche. So our quote for today is from General Omar Bradley. He said, "Freedom, no word was ever spoken that held out greater hope, demanded greater sacrifice, needed more to be nurtured. Blessed more the giver, cursed more its destroyer, or came closer to being God's will on earth. And I think that's worth fighting for." So today, be grateful, read great books, think good thoughts, listen to beautiful music, communicate and listen well, live honestly and authentically, strive for high ideals, and like Superman, stand for truth, justice, and the American way. This is Kim Munson signing off. God bless you, and God bless America.